If you please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the book of Judges. We're in Judges chapter 14 this morning. Judges 14, you'll find that on page 248 in your pew Bibles. Our sermon series is called Samson, Strong Man Gone Wrong. And we are looking at Samson's life in Scripture to better understand how we are to live our lives in the here and now. Last week we started the series and we saw that Samson got off to a good start. He had godly parents, he had a miraculous birth, he was set apart for God's service, he was blessed by God in his life, he was equipped with the Spirit of God for his mission. Samson had a promising beginning, and God gave him everything he needed to succeed. So, you might wonder, what went wrong? What went wrong then? Well, that's what we will begin to see this week as we look at Samson's marriage. Now, we're going to look at the whole chapter in the course of the message, but for right now, we'll begin by just reading verses 1 through 4. So, in Judges 14, verses 1 through 4, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now, get her for me as my wife." His father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She is the right one for me." His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at these verses and the rest of the verses in this chapter, Lord, I know you've got important things to teach us this morning. So give us open ears and willing hearts, and help us to be attentive to your Spirit today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Marriage is one of the most important decisions you will ever make in your life. Marriage is for a lifetime. And a good marriage is one of God's greatest blessings. A difficult marriage is one of life's greatest heartaches. There are few things as beautiful in life as marriage gone right, and few things as painful as marriage gone wrong. And unfortunately, Samson's marriage is an example of marriage gone wrong. Fortunately, we don't have to get married with a trial and error approach. God has given us good principles in His Word to follow when we are getting married or getting ready to get married, or when we're single and we may get married someday. He's given us good principles, and things go so much better when we follow God's way. So today what we're going to do, we're going to look at 7 principles from Samson's life that will help you when you are getting married or when you're getting ready to get married. Now if you're already married, this message is for you as well. You can pass these helps along to your children or grandchildren or anyone else you know. If you're an older single, I'll be talking to some of our young people particularly this morning, but if you're an older single, these principles apply to you as well. So together now, let's look at these 7 biblical principles for those getting married. Principle number 1, marry another Christian. Marry another Christian. If you are a believer, make sure that you marry another believer. Now, there's a lot that Samson did wrong when it came to his marriage, but this was where he first got off track. So let's start now in Judges 14, verses 1 and 2. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." Samson's a real subtle guy, as you can tell, right? Get her for me. Well, we mentioned last week, Samson liked women, and he especially liked Philistine women. And this is a problem because remember, Samson is supposed to be doing what? He's supposed to be fighting the Philistines. Instead, he's hanging out with the Philistines, and now he wants to marry a Philistine. When Israel entered the promised land, God gave them strict instructions not to intermarry with the various nations who were already living there. We read this in Deuteronomy 7, verses 3 and 4. These are God's commands to Israel. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Now, it's important when we read these verses to understand this was not a racial restriction. This had nothing to do with racial or ethnic differences. This was a religious restriction. This was meant to protect the Israelites from forsaking the one true God by running after other gods, false gods. They were not to intermarry outside of the faith. Now, it's the same thing when we come here to Judges 14 and the Philistines. And when Samson's parents object to this marriage, in the next verse, we'll get to that verse in a minute, it's not because the Philistines are a different race. That's got nothing to do with it. Rather, it's because the Philistines are not circumcised. They're uncircumcised. What was circumcision? Circumcision was a sign of the covenant with God. And so this was not a problem of interracial marriage. It was a problem of marrying outside the covenant faith of Israel. Now, when we get to the New Testament tells us as believers that we should not marry outside the Christian faith. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 a little bit earlier in the service. Let's look at that again, verse 14. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? Later on it says, what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, Paul is giving instructions to women who have lost their husbands. And he stresses to them if they remarry that it must be to a believer. 1 Corinthians 7, 39, a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. This is God's instruction, not just for widows, but for all believers that we are to marry within the faith. Marrying another Christian is so important for so many reasons. Sharing your faith together as a married couple, praying together, attending church together, serving God together, raising your children together in the Lord. Your Christian faith is the most important part of who you are. And the person you marry is the most important person in your life. And how sad if you cannot share the most important part of who you are with the most important person in your life. So that's the first biblical principle when it comes to getting married. And it comes first because it's the most important one. If you are a Christian, you should marry another Christian. Principle number two, seek your parents' blessing. Seek your parents' blessing. Look at verse 3 with me now, Judges 14, verse 3. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? There's that uncircumcised. We looked at that already. But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. So when Samson told his parents that he wanted to marry this girl from Timnah, they immediately objected. The girl was not a believer. Samson was going directly against God's command. This was Samson's second opportunity now to get it right. And guess what? He blew this one as well. When it came to marriage, the most important decision in his life, he did not listen to his parents' input. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16 says this, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. God's commands are for your benefit. They're for your good so that things may go well with you. Proverbs 1, verses 8 and 9 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. There will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Folks, your parents raised you, and they know you better than anyone else on earth. And if they are not comfortable with the person you want to marry, you should take that as a very strong indication from the Lord that this may not be the right person for you, or this may not be the right time for you to get married. And this is especially true when you have godly parents who know and love the Lord like Samson's parents did. I know of one Christian mother who told her daughter that the man that she had wanted to marry, that he was not the right man for her. She told her daughter this all the way up to the wedding. She even told her at the wedding, while the organ was playing and her daughter was ready to walk down the aisle. This mother very lovingly took her daughter's face in her hands and looked into her eyes and said, "Honey, you don't have to do this. We can walk out of here right now. There's plenty of food, and everyone else can have a big party. Do not make this mistake." Her daughter did not listen to her, and she got herself into a bad marriage. Samson's parents objected to the girl from Timnah, but Samson did not listen to his parents' input. Instead, Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She's the right one for me." Literally, what Samson said to his father was this: "Get her for me. She is right in my eyes." Now, if you know the book of Judges really well, immediately you're going to recognize that phrase. Something's going to pop into your head there. You say, "I've heard that somewhere." And that's because this is the word of judgment that hangs over the entire book of Judges, that everyone did what was right in their own eyes, in his own eyes. Samson is supposed to be the judge of Israel, and he's no better than the rest of the nation. Folks, this marriage was not right in God's eyes. It was not right in Samson's parents' eyes, but apparently it was right in Samson's eyes. And so he went ahead and he plunged himself into disaster. Now, it's very important to note verse 4 here as well. Judges 14, verse 4. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. In other words, God is using Samson despite Samson. God is sovereign. This marriage is wrong. But God will use Samson's sin to bring about the necessary conflict between Samson and the Philistines. Remember what we said last week: Samson's not the hero of his own story. God is the hero of the story, not Samson. There's an application here for parents. Parents, take heart when your child is wandering. God is sovereign, and he has not forgotten you or your child. Keep praying for him and for her. Know that God is still working out his purposes, even when your child is disobedient or defiant. But that's the second principle when it comes to getting married. Seek your parents' blessing. Number three, pay attention to God. This is an important one. Pay attention to God. Look at verses 5 and 6 now. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. And as they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. So Samson has been set apart by God as a Nazarite. We looked at that last week. He's been set apart as a judge of Israel. He's going down to Timnah to marry a girl in direct disobedience to God and in total disregard of his parents. Do you just think possibly that this lion attacking him on the way, that just might have been a sign from God, a sign of God's displeasure, a little warning from God that, "Samson, you're not going the right way. Turn around. You're not going in the right direction in your life." God is a good God. And he gives us warnings all the time when we get off track. Sometimes it's just a tap on the shoulder. Sometimes he has to send something bigger our way to get our attention. The Bible calls it discipline. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So God gives us warnings. He gives us the tap on the shoulder. You know what? He also gives us grace. God not only sent the lion Samson's way to send him back, he also gave Samson the strength to defeat the lion. And folks, that was pure grace from God. God did not have to do that. Samson was living in disobedience and defiance. But once again, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. What's that mean? Pay attention. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan wants to bring you down. But know that Christ has already defeated the enemy. Remember Samson, we learned this last week. Samson foreshadows Christ, who destroyed the enemy for us. And you don't have to give in to the enemy because Christ has already torn the lion apart. That's our third principle this morning. Pay attention. Pay attention to God. Listen to his word. Watch out for his warnings. Recognize his grace in your life. Number four, do things God's way. Do things God's way. We see this in verses 7 through 9. Then he, Samson, went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. In it was a swarm of bees and some honey, which he scooped out with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now, remember last week, we talked about Samson's vow as a Nazarite. There was a three-part vow, three parts to his vow. Number one, he couldn't drink wine. And then secondly, he couldn't cut his hair. That's why he's got long hair, right? We all know Samson has long hair. And then number three, he was not supposed to touch or go near a dead body. Verse 8 tells us that Samson turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. I find that significant. He just turned aside. He was just going to look, right? No harm in looking. Really? No harm in looking. Except he wasn't even supposed to go near the dead lion. Once he turned aside, he looked. Once he looked, he saw the honey. When he saw the honey, he scooped it out of the dead lion's body, and he ate it. What did Samson just do? He just broke one of his three vows as a Nazarite. Not supposed to touch a dead body. You might say, well, I'm not set apart as a Nazarite. No, but if you are a Christian, you are set apart for God and for his glory. Samson turned aside from God's will for his life. Don't you turn aside from God's will for your life. Do things God's way. Proverbs 4 says this. It says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. Take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I want to talk to our young people for a moment here because this is so important for you. Young people, this is why it is so important that you walk closely with God when you graduate from high school or you go off to college. And the reason is this: you are going to be making a lot of important life decisions in your college years and beyond, decisions that will affect the rest of your life. What will you do? Where will you live? Who will you marry? And when you're making all of these important life decisions that are going to have such an impact on the rest of your life, wouldn't you like to have God on your side as you're doing that? Wouldn't you like to be walking closely with God? Wouldn't you like God to guide you into the right decisions? And this is where a lot of us mess up in our young adult years, don't we? We get away from church. We get away from our relationship with God. You know what we do? We do what is right in our eyes instead of doing what is right in God's eyes. We do things our way instead of God's way, and we end up making some very bad decisions at a very critical time of our life. There are so many potential pitfalls in your young adult years. Don't marry or date an unbeliever. Don't live together before marriage. Don't get caught up in the drinking scene or get sexually involved with your boy or girlfriend. Do get involved with a good Christian church. Do meet with other Christians in a small group or Bible study. Do things God's way. Go God's way. And your life will be so much the better for it. That's the fourth principle when you're getting ready to marry. Do things God's way. Number five. Beware of pride. Beware of pride. Look at verses 10 through 14 with me now. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. And if you can give me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. We've got a little wager going here now. Tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. And here's Samson's riddle. He replied, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. You can just see the Philistines scratching their heads on that one, right? Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. And for 3 days, they could not give the answer. Now, this is actually a fun part of the story. Everyone likes a riddle, and it's fun watching Samson bring out this riddle at the feast. And it's especially fun, you know why? Because we've got inside information, right? We know about the lion. We know about the honey. So we immediately know the answer. But the poor Philistines, they don't have a chance. Because if you don't know about the dead lion with the honey in its carcass, guess what? In a million years, you will never guess this riddle. And that's the problem here. It's not a fair riddle at all. And yet Samson brings it out to lord it over the Philistines that they can't solve his riddle. It is a problem of pride. Well, it's all fun and games until someone gets hurt, right? In this particular riddle game, it is going to end in tragedy. Tragedy for Samson, tragedy for his wife and her family, not to mention the Philistines. Pride is a game where no one wins and everyone loses. We need to beware of pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Trust me, when you're getting ready for marriage, when you're making these important life decisions, you want God on your side. You don't want God opposing you. And God opposes the proud. That's the fifth principle when you're getting married. Beware of pride. Walk humbly with the Lord. By the way, this feast that Samson was throwing for the Philistines, this was actually a drinking feast. That's what the word actually means in the original language. It's a drinking feast. And so this feast was Samson's now second breaking of his Nazirite vows, right? First he scooped the honey out of the dead lion. Now he's out drinking with his Philistine buddies. We're only in chapter 14, just the second chapter of Samson's story. And guess what? He's already broken two of his vows. No touching dead bodies, no drinking wine. And if you're reading Samson's story attentively at this point, you know he's only got one vow left, and he'd better hold on to his hair. And that's going to be a problem in a few chapters, isn't it? We'll get there. We've looked at five biblical principles to follow when you're getting married. We've got two more to go. Here we go. Number six, practice unity, love, and respect. Practice unity, love, and respect. Verses 15 through 18 now. On the fourth day, remember they're trying to solve this riddle, right? On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? And then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, you hate me. You don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even explained it to my father or mother, he replied, so why should I explain it to you? She cried the whole 7 days of the feast. On the seventh day, he finally told her because she continued to press him. She, in turn, explained the riddle to her people, and before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? And Samson said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. I love that. I'm not even going to make a comment on that. We'll just let that hang there. This whole scene is a preview of what's going to happen to Samson later with Delilah, right? You'd think he would learn his lesson. But for right now, Samson's wife, she just pesters him, and he gives in, and he tells her the answer to the riddle. Of course, as soon as he tells her, she tells her people. Genesis 2, verse 24 says this, very profound statement. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Marriage is the joining of two people together as one. That means you need to leave your old loyalties behind and practice unity with your spouse. Here, Samson and his wife are not unified. Samson brings up his mom and dad. I haven't even told my mother and father. Why should I tell you? Samson's got issues. Samson's wife has got issues. You know, she's trying to get the riddle out of him. They let this whole riddle, it's fun and games till someone gets hurt. They let this whole riddle come between and divide them. How do you practice unity in your relationship? You treat each other with love and respect. Ephesians 5:33 says, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself. Samson didn't do that. And the wife must respect her husband. Samson's wife didn't do that. Samson and his wife, they're only 4 days into their marriage, and love and respect have already gone out the window. Practice unity, love, and respect. Finally, number seven. Beware of anger. This one's so important too. Beware of anger. Look at verses 19 and 20 as we finish out the chapter. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to the friend who had attended him at his wedding. We'll talk more about that next week when we get into vengeance gone wrong. But right now, simply know this. Samson was angry. He was angry that the Philistines had won the contest. He was angry that his wife had told him the answer to the riddle. He was literally burning with anger, and that anger led to the death of 30 men. Now, at the same time, God was also using Samson to fulfill his purposes. Samson was supposed to be fighting the Philistines. And so God empowered Samson by his spirit for the task. God used Samson, but Samson's anger was still wrong. Anger is a problem in life, and it is especially a problem in marriage. In fact, one of the questions I ask couples in premarital counseling, it's one of the very first questions I ask them. I ask them about the three A's. The three A's, and the three A's stand for anger, abuse, and alcohol. And I asked them in our very first session, have you ever been exposed to or participated in extreme or severe anger? Have you ever been exposed to or participated in abuse of any kind? Have you ever been exposed to or participated in alcohol or drugs? In premarital counseling, one of the first things I want to know is about anger, either in their life or in their family history. Proverbs 22, verse 24 says this, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered." Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control." James chapter 1 says, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." Do you want a word of advice this morning? Do not marry an angry person. If you're not supposed to even make friends with an angry person, you certainly don't want to marry one. An angry person is a foolish person, and an angry person will not bring about the righteous life that God desires for you. If there was ever an example of marriage gone wrong, it was Samson's. Samson's marriage didn't even survive the honeymoon. Samson did just about everything wrong that you can do wrong when it comes to marriage. Let's list them out for you. He married an unbeliever. He didn't listen to his parents. He didn't pay attention to God's warnings. He did things his way, not God's way. He was proud and arrogant. He and his wife were not united together in love and respect. He gave in to anger and his temper. And yet God still worked through Samson to begin Israel's deliverance from the Philistines. Because once again, God is sovereign. He works even through the evil actions of men and women to bring about his good purposes. The greatest example of this is our Lord Jesus Christ. We read about Jesus in Acts 2:23. This man Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. This is Peter speaking here. What's he saying? He's saying wicked men put Jesus to death when they nailed him to the cross. They were wrong. It was sin. They were accountable for their sin. And yet this was all according to God's set purpose and plan to save us from our sins. Jesus went to the cross willingly to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. Question: why does God use flawed people like Samson in the Bible? Answer: flawed people are all he has. It's all he had then. You know what? It's all he's got now. He's got us, and we're flawed, and yet God continues to work out his purposes in our lives despite our sin and our weaknesses. Marriage is one of the most important decisions you will ever make in your life. And God has given us good principles in his word to follow when we are getting married. And I trust that you will take these principles to heart in your daily life, whether you're getting married or not. Because when we follow God's way, life is so much better than when we go our own way. Amen? Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this chapter of Scripture. We thank you for, I guess it's a negative example from Samson, but one we can still learn from. We can flip the negatives around and turn them into positives and learn how to do things the right way. Help us to apply them in our own lives. Help us to apply them in our children's lives. Lord, help us as we're talking with friends to help them to apply these principles. Lord, you've given us your word for our good and our benefit and for your glory. Help us to pay attention to you. Help us to do things your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.